In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. I'd like to welcome you all to our Perseverance family conversation this morning. And as always, it's great to be with you. And we like to always start off our conversation by inviting Mary to be with us. Mary is truly the Mother of God. Mary is the Mother of the Church. Mary is the Mother of each and every one of us. Mary is also known as our life, our sweetness, and our hope as we pray in the Hail Holy Queen. So let's invite Mary to be with us, to pray for us, to pray with us, and to encourage us by her presence. Mary is truly the full of grace. As we say, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Now let's turn to our spiritual director. Our spiritual director is the Holy Spirit. He's known as the Paraclete. He's also known as the Gift of Gifts. He's also known as the Wonderful Counselor. He's also known as the Sweet Guest of Our Soul. What a beautiful title. He's also our Interior Master or Teacher. Meaning, we do not know how to pray as we ought. However, good news, the Holy Spirit intercedes with ineffable groans, so that we can say, Abba. Abba, which means Daddy or Father. Let's invite the Holy Spirit to be with us, to guide us, to encourage us, to strengthen us, to enlighten us, and to set our hearts on fire with divine love. As we say, come Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and enkindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. Thou shalt renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant us by the same Spirit we may be truly wise, and ever rejoice in his consolations. Through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Glory be to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady Fatima, pray for us. Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Michael the Archangel, pray for us. Saint Gabriel, pray for us. Archangel Raphael, pray for us. Saint Ignatius of Loyola, pray for us. Saint Faustina Maria Kowalska, pray for us. Saint Vincent Ferrer, pray for us. All God's angels and saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. So I'd like to welcome you all to our Perseverance family, a family that prays together, stays together. We always start off our conversation by saying fervent prayers together, inviting God to be in our company. Emmanuel, which means God with us. Now I'd like to encourage you by prayers that I will be praying for all of you today in placing you on the altar in the greatest of all prayers. Greatest of all prayers, my friends, is the holy sacrifice of the Mass. There's no greater prayer in the whole world than the holy sacrifice of the Mass. We might even call the holy sacrifice of Mass the Opus Dei, the great work of God. So I place you on the altar of the Mass, and when I lift up the chalice and the paten, I'll be lifting you up on high. And these will be my intentions. First, that as we head toward Holy Week, which will be this Sunday, which happens to be, of course, Palm Sunday, that these last days of Lent, that we would live out our Lenten journey with great generosity, knowing that God cannot be outdone in generosity, to try to be generous with God because He's so generous with us. So that will be my first intention as I place you on the altar. My second will be to pray for your family, your loved ones, your children. That God would bless them in a special way. That your children will come to a keen awareness, even when they're young, that there is a true God, but also there is a false God. False God are the modern idols. There are so many out there today, modern idols in the modern society. The true God is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be honor and glory and praise forever and ever. Amen. So may your children find their true joy and happiness in this life, in the person of Christ, as well as in heaven for all eternity. Because, my friends, when all is said and done, my friends, the only thing that really matters in our lives is that we make it to heaven. Nothing more important. So that'll be my second intention, to pray in a special way for your children, your families. My third intention will be double. Let's pray for the situation in the Ukraine once again. Actually, many Ukrainian immigrants are already coming to Mexico. They're already coming to the United States. Let's pray that this war would be brought to a screeching halt and there would be peace. Don't forget that the Pope consecrated the world, rather Russia and Ukraine, to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. About 10 days ago, let's pray that we would see the fruits of this consecration in a way that there will be true efforts for peace and not innocent bloodshed. Finally, I'd like to ask you to pray for the upcoming confirmations that we'll have this weekend. Have the close to 100 teenagers that will be confirmed this coming Saturday. Pray that they will be prepared for this very important day of their life. That they will open up their hearts to God. That their godparents would take seriously the formation of these young people that have to encounter so many challenges today. So many challenges today. So those will be our intentions that we'll place on the altar today. So my friends, let's move into our conversation. As always, we have a lot to cover today. First, I'd like to talk about the saint that we celebrate today, and his name is Saint Vincent Ferrer, who lived in the year 1350. He was born and he died 1419. Canonized rapidly 1455. He lived in a very difficult time in the church because there were three popes, so there were anti-popes within the church. I'd like to talk about what was considered to be his greatest gift and how he used this gift. Saint Vincent Ferrer was born in Spain, and he entered into the religious life, and he became a priest as well as a Dominican friar. Saint Vincent Ferrer was a teacher of philosophy, and he was good at that. However, he had another gift that excelled his gift as a university philosophy teacher. His great gift, my friends, was that of a preacher. He was a great preacher. And he preached with a lot of fire, a lot of passion, a lot of enthusiasm. And he was so powerful as a preacher, and a holy man at that, that we'd be had to preach sometimes in an open field because so many people came. He preached in France and Spain and Hungary, different countries. Because of his zeal and his eloquence, these many people came to him. The people loved him, and they actually called him, they gave him a name, the mouthpiece of God. Now, the topics that he spoke about I think they're very important for our Lenten journey. He would preach about the reality of judgment, heaven, hell, and the need for repentance. The reality of judgment, heaven, hell, and the need for repentance. In other words, he'd be preaching on the last things. In my spiritual exercises program, my friends, and many of you have gone through my spiritual exercises program, you would spend a week on these very important topics. Theology, this is actually called eschatology. What is eschatology, my friends? It's the theology of the last things. And that would be the reality of death, judgment, heaven, hell, purgatory, as well as the reality of eternity. So Vincent Ferrer felt that these were very important topics for the people. Here we have a pamphlet of St. Faustine. It's in Spanish, but it's the same topic. Hell, heaven, and purgatory, the last things, from the diary of St. Faustina. So, in honor of this saint, in honor of Jesus, who will be celebrating his death, his resurrection, and Jesus often is speaking about judgment. Judgment and the condemnation of the Jewish people, that were many of the Jewish people following him. Jesus speaks about you will die in your sins, and I have much to say about your condemnation, because they would not believe in him. That's the gospel for today. The Israelites complain against Moses, and God sends them seraphs, or serpents, which bite and kill these people because they complained against God and against Moses. So, my friends, I think it's very, very salutary to meditate upon these last things. I was listening to Relevant Radio, and Patrick Madrid was speaking about this topic. He was speaking specifically about the topic of hell. And it was right around Christmas, and he sent to his family members as a gift for Christmas the book on hell. By Shoup. And his purpose was the following, that one of his sisters was not living according to the standards of Christ. So he purposely directed that book to the sister. His sister had apparently not living up to her Christian Catholic calling. And upon getting this book, she got very angry. Very angry. However, she did read the book, and as a result of that, her life was changed. Conversions come about in many ways. But Vincent Ferrer called for the need for repentance to change our lives. And you know, my friends, that's the first preaching of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Mark chapter 1, verse 15, which we hear on Ash Wednesday. Repent or be converted and believe in the gospel. So let's hit, in honor of Vincent Ferrer, let's talk briefly about these timely topics. They're serious, but if you meditate upon these timely topics, there's going to be conversion in your life and your loved ones too, if you meditate upon them seriously. They are the reality of death, judgment, heaven, hell, purgatory, and eternity. Let's start, my friends, with the reality of death. Let's talk about death. I think that this is a very timely topic because this Sunday, my friends, we'll be entering into Holy Week. Into Holy Week. In which Palm Sunday reading, this coming Sunday, we'll be listening to the gospel of the passion and death of Christ. So let's see if we can talk about the reality of death related to Christ himself. Death. I know it's a serious topic, but we should try to very calmly meditate upon the reality of death. And for your relatives that maybe drift away, it's a good topic to talk about death. We're surrounded by death every day. So with respect to the reality of death, where does death come from? Was death in God's original plan? The answer is no. Death was not part of God's original plan. Adam and Eve were called to be immortal. But that changed radically. They're going from their immortality toward their mortality. And it all started by the original sin that Adam and Eve committed. When Adam and Eve were put to the test and they ate from the forbidden fruit, Then all changed. In this way. St. Paul says this in Romans, death entered into the world because of sin. In his letter to the Romans, death entered into the world through sin. So as a result of the sin of Adam and Eve, death enters into the world from the most primitive creature to the most advanced creature. From a gnat, an insect, a bud, a leaf, a plant, all the way up to the human person. death is the ultimate reality of all of us. Now, how might we define death? The medical or biological definition would be different than the theological. Not being a nurse or a doctor, I imagine that the nurse or the doctor probably say when the heart stops, the pulse stops, the brain waves go flat, clinically, that person has died. Theologically, we have a different definition. The theological definition is very simple, easy to memorize. Death is the separation of the soul from the body. That's right. That once the soul departs from the body, it leaves the body, the human person is considered dead. The body is dead, but the soul goes forth to Christ. This was Vincent de Paul's preaching to judgment. There is the particular judgment, and then there's the general judgment. But let's talk more about death and its meaning and how we confront this reality. St. Augustine points this out, and St. Paul speaks about it also, that God allows God allows the reality of evil. God allows evil so that he can bring greater good from evil. That's right. God allows evil so that God can bring greater good out of evil. The Easter Vigil Mass, after the priest with a vigil candle, Paschal candle, the people enter the church, then the Exalted is sung, which is a beautiful Easter hymn of triumph. And one of the verses, possibly my favorite, is, oh happy fault that brought forth oh, happy fault of Adam and Eve that brought forth our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Therefore, as a consequence of the sin of Adam and Eve, we call that original sin, God was able to bring forth even more abundant fruit. And what was that? God, as a result of the sin of Adam and Eve, God the Father decided to send his Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to be incarnate in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary, to live, to die, and to give us new life. So the sin of Adam and Eve would eventually cause the death of Christ, however, his resurrection. And that's what we're heading toward, my friends. I repeat, the sin of Adam and Eve, their sin brought about their death and the death of all humanity, including the death of Christ himself. He allowed himself to be nailed to the cross on Good Friday. But 3 days later, on Easter Sunday, he rose from the dead. This is called the fullness of the Paschal Mystery. The fullness of the Paschal Mystery. That's right. Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again, we say in the Mass after the double consecration. So Christ died so as to give us life. So my friends, let's talk about our own death. Not to be gloomy or apocalyptic or macabre. No. But my friends, to be very honest with you, St. Catherine of Siena, one of the women doctors of the church, has made this comment. The most important moment in their life, or moments, would be now and at the hour of our death, which we say in the Hail Mary. We only have now. But the day, the hour, the moment we die is the most important. Because it will determine, my friends, in Jesus and Mary, our destiny for all eternity. Which Vincent Ferrer preached very powerfully, preaching on the reality of judgment, heaven and hell. This was the essence of his preaching. The reality of judgment, heaven and hell. So, the fact of death, and no one can escape it, should bring us into the clear awareness that that's going to be us one day. Because of this pandemic, because of these wars, because of many things that are going on in society, we're surrounded by death on a daily basis. And because of the pandemic, you know, friends and even relatives have been called from this life to the next. So, let's talk about how, in a very positive way, how can we prepare for this most important moment in our life? First thing I'd like to say is, referring to Jesus' teaching on this matter, because Jesus is he's our master. He teaches us by means of parables, and I'll summarize one parable related to this topic of death, which can be found in the Gospel of St. Luke. And Jesus says that there was once a man who had an abundant harvest. He had an abundant harvest. And the harvest was so abundant that the man didn't know what to do with his crops. So he did some brainstorming, and he came to the conclusion that the best thing would be to demolish his barn that was not spacious enough, and to reconstruct a more spacious barn or silo. So imagine the guy tearing down his barn, and then he's building a bigger barn. Then he stores his grain, his corn, his crops in that bigger barn. Then he says to himself, "My soul, my soul. My soul, you have a long life ahead of you. Therefore, eat, drink, be merry, live it up, because you have a long life ahead of you. Now, this is the topic of death because Jesus intervenes and says that this man is a fool. This man is a first-class fool. Why? Because Jesus says this very night, this man will die. And where will all of his material possessions go? They'll be taken away. My friends, the richest man in the world and the poorest man in the world will end up in the same place. And that is 6 feet beneath the ground. We call it the cemetery. That's right. The richest person in the world and the poorest person in the world will end up in the same place. 6 feet beneath the ground. All of you have probably been to funerals. In the funeral procession heading toward the cemetery, you never saw behind the funeral van a U-Haul van. You've never seen that, I'm sure. The phantom of death, my friends, respects has respect for no one. No one can avoid, sidestep the prospect of death. That is part of the human plight. And as the Bible says, we're destined to live one life, and from after death, judgment, St. Paul says. And St. Vincent Ferrer preached so eloquently. So what is Jesus saying by this parable, as well as many other parables? Jesus is saying, we have to be prepared, we have to be vigilant, because we know neither the day nor the hour. We know neither the day nor the hour that God is going to call us from this life to the next. Be prepared, be vigilant. To expound upon this reality of death, judgment, heaven and hell, and as Vincent Ferrer says, the call to repentance and conversion, one of the greatest literary masterpieces, which was made into films more than once, is the 19th century novelist Charles Dickens, Oliver Twist, David Copperfield. Charles Dickens is known for that one-liner, which is one of my favorites, the worst of times can be the best of times. But pertinent to our topic, Dickens penned what is called the Christmas Carol. Called the Christmas Carol. And the protagonist of this is the miserly, parsimonious, niggardly figure that we call Ebenezer Scrooge. Scrooge. And he has a worker, his name is Bob Cratchit. Scrooge, Bob Cratchit, what a marked contrast. Scrooge is a businessman that's interested only in making as much money as he possibly can. And using all of his workers to the very max to basically suck all their hard work out and give them as little money as possible so that Scrooge could have it for himself. But there's a change. There's a conversion in the life of Ebenezer Scrooge. And what was that? It's Christmas Eve. And Ebenezer Scrooge has a dream of his past, his present, and the future. In the past, he can see all the miserly, greedy, avaricious actions that he carried out. In the future, he's taken to the cemetery by Marley. And Marley points to his tombstone. And on the tombstone in his name, there's a question mark as to when he's going to die. That reality of death, and it's not said, but after death, judgment comes, knocked at the door of the heart of Ebenezer Scrooge and broke down his greedy, materialistic personality. So he opens up the window, and the snowflakes are coming down. And he sees a young boy with his sled. And he asks the young boy, "My lad, is the fat turkey still in the marketplace?" And the boy says, "Yes, sir." "Will you do me a favor and buy that for me? And I'll give you a tip." "Of course." So he throws out the window a sum of money. And the lad buys the turkey and brings it to Ebenezer Scrooge. And then, that Christmas day, Ebenezer Scrooge, he takes a hike to the house of his worker, Bob Cratchit, who has a paralyzed son who's named Tiny Tim. A poor family. So Cratchit knocks at the door, Scrooge knocks at the door of Bob Cratchit. One of the sons opens up and says, "Dad, Scrooge is here now. Oh boy." Bob Cratchit comes. Scrooge has the fat turkey and says, "Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas." He brings in the fattened turkey. He takes Tiny Tim in his arms and rejoices at the celebration. My friends, why have I given you a literary summary of that book, of that novel, Ebenezer Scrooge, Christmas Carol? And the reason is this. Is because the reality of death was able to bring about the conversion of this avaricious, greedy, materialistic man called Ebenezer Scrooge. My friends, I think we can apply this to ourselves, the parable of the rich fool and the story of Ebenezer Scrooge. That we honestly, my friends, we honestly do not know when God is going to call us. We honestly do not know when God is going to call us. And there are many, many stories of untimely deaths that have moved people to a a state of conversion. My friends, meditating upon death is very powerful. We have to apply this to ourselves because one day I will die, one day you will die. One day we'll be in the coffin. Let's not put off our conversion. At the tail end of the life of Saint Ignatius of Loyola, there is a story of a rich man who was the Duke of Gandhi. And his name was Francis Borja. Francis Borja was a widower, and he admired the queen. There was a young, beautiful queen that he admired for her beauty, for her just overall attractiveness. He admired her very much. And all of a sudden, this queen died at a relatively young age. Francis Borja was shocked at the untimely death of this queen. So the queen was placed in the coffin, and then there was a funeral procession heading toward the church. She had been in the coffin, I think, for a couple of days. And when Francis Borja was close to the coffin, it popped open, the coffin. You know what he saw? Something that shocked him. This beautiful, beautiful queen, one of the most famous women in the world, in Europe back then. She was decomposing, and her body and her face were being eaten by worms. That's right, by worms. It hit him like a ton of bricks. And it made him think about what we're talking about today. Hit him like a ton of bricks. And Francis Borja, the Duke of Gandhi, her wealthy, well-educated, intelligent man, decided that it was time. It was time for him to go through a radical conversion. He set his affairs at home in order, as well as his economic situation. And Francis Borja left the world, entered into the Company of Jesus, or Society of Jesus, we call them the Jesuits. And he became a priest. And I think this was the order. Ignatius was the father general, then Polanco. Then after Polanco, who wrote the biography of Ignatius, Francis Borja became the head of the Society of Jesus. And he became a great missionary, establishing schools of learning throughout Europe and even into the United States. And all of this came about, my friends, because of the reality of the untimely death of this beautiful queen, who Francis Borja admired so much. This beautiful, attractive queen admired by so many, died suddenly, and her body was being eaten by worms. It calls to mind that book of the Old Testament, Ecclesiastes, vanity of vanity. All is vanity if it's not related to God Himself. Vanity of vanity. All is vanity if it's not related to God Himself. So, my friends, what is our essential message today? It's the following. We've talked about why death has come into the world. We've talked about the definition of what death is. Death came into the world because of the sin of our first parents, Adam and Eve. We've defined death theologically as the separation of the soul from the body. Once the soul leaves the body, then theologically, spiritually, death has occurred. We've talked about what Jesus said about death. In the parable found in the Gospel of St. Luke, it's called the parable of the rich fool, who lived only to accumulate wealth, and then that very night Jesus says, your life is going to be taken from you. Where is it all going to go? And we've given you a literary masterpiece by the greatest novelist in the 19th century, Charles Dickens, in which we've given you a literary summary of the Christmas tale and the person of Ebenezer Scrooge. Whose conversion came about as a result of his reflection in the cemetery about his own death. We've given you, my friends, in the lives of the saints, the conversion of Francis Borja, that came about because of the untimely death of the beautiful queen that lived. Francis Borja decides to leave the world and to become a Jesuit priest and did incredible good in the time that God gave to him. So that's death. My friends, we're very, very close to Holy Week. Very close. My friends, let us live. Let us live each day of our life. Let's live each day of our life, my friends, as if it were to be the last. In the words of John Donne, do not ask for whom the bell tolls, because the bell tolls for you and for me. Do not ask for whom the bell tolls, because the bell tolls for you and for me. John Donne, the English poet. Now let us, my friends, try to walk in the footsteps of the saints. And that means to live, my friends, to live, my friends, each day of our life as if it were to be the last. And only God knows if it will be. To live each day of our life as if it were the last. One of the best ways to prepare for death, my friends, is by praying the Hail Mary and by praying the Most Holy Rosary. Because we say in the Hail Mary, Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.